Let's look at the next statement very carefully. And you'll notice it's nearly all in squiggly writing. My friend suggested what then seemed a novel idea. He said, well, why don't you choose your own conception of God? And the instant he said that, his message changed from a religious message to a spiritual message. Religion says this is the way you have to believe. Spirituality says it really doesn't make any difference how you believe. The only question is, are you willing to believe? And this opened the door for Bill. It's opened the door for countless thousands and thousands of we alcoholics. Why don't you choose your own conception of God? Here's the effect it had on Bill. That statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain whose shadow I'd lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. And this is where Bill took step two. He was allowed to take step two based on the idea of choosing his own conception of God. And I was exactly like him. I couldn't choose the church's conception of God or anybody else's conception of God, but you let me have my own conception, I'm okay. I think the reason it works for we alcoholics is we don't have any problem with our own conception of anything.
My idea is good, right? Well, it has to be. And I don't think Abby really understood what he was doing there. I think out of total frustration, talking to a drunk about God, he finally said, I think, oh, hell, Bill, just believe whatever you want to. You know? But that idea opened the door for a lot of us because that God is we understanding. Believe what we want to. And I know that that was... See, you couldn't do that back in Oklahoma. The Southern Baptist, you go to hell for doing that. Believe me, you would. But that idea opened the door for me, too.
Okay, Abby immediately began to take Bill to Oxford group meetings. But remember, Bill's been drinking since Armistice Day. The allergies got him and he can't stop. He finally has to go back into the town's hospital for the third time. Page 13. At the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens. After he gets sobered up in the towns, Eddie comes to visit with him. They begin to apply the little Oxford group program of action in Bill's life to the best of their ability. Let's see on page 13 if we can't see the last 10 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. We saw him take step one. We saw him take step two. Now let's see if we can't find the last 10 from the Oxford group program.
He said, there I humbly offered myself to God, as I then understood him to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing. Without him I was lost.
The first step in the Oxford group program was surrender. And Bill knew no self-respecting alcoholic would ever want to surrender. So he changed that into... made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. We see Bill taking what we know there as step three today in our program.
He says, I ruthlessly faced my sins.
Their second step they had was examine your sins. And Bill knew no self-respecting alcoholic is going to do that for sure. So he changed that to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. There he's taking step four.
And became willing to have my newfound friend take them away root and branch. I've not had a drink since.
Became willing to have my newfound friend take them away root and branch. You'll notice friend is capitalized. He's referring here to God. And he's actually dealing with what we know today as steps six and seven. We became willing to have God remove these things and humbly ask him to do so. There he's dealing with steps six and seven.
He said, my schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies.
We see him taking what we know today as step five. There in the hospital... with Eddie.
We made a list of people I'd hurt toward whom I felt resentment. I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters to the utmost of my ability.
And there we see him taking what we know today as steps eight and nine. You know, we made our list and became willing to the list, and then we made amends wherever possible. So there he's dealing with steps eight and nine.
He said, I was testing my thinking by the new God conscious within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense.
This later became step 10, where we continue to take personal inventory.
He said, I would sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems that he would have me. Never was I to pray for myself, except as my request bore on my usefulness to others. Then only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure.
Of course, there we see step 11, where we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out.
He said, my friend promised when these things were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my Creator, that I would have the elements of a way of living which answered all my problems.
It's got to be the first part, step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. So we see Bill in the town hospital with Eddie applying the Oxford Group program of action. Later, when he wrote how it works, he was able to say, these are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. He took the Oxford Group steps, expanded them into steps 3 through 12, the last 10 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. So Bill took them also, just like the rest of us have to take them.
He said, belief in the power of God, plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain the new order of things were essential requirements. Simple, but not easy. A price had to be paid. It meant the destruction of self-centeredness. And I must turn in all things to the Father Light who presides over us all. Poor old alcoholics got to give us the two most important things in our life. The first thing is our alcohol, and the second thing is our self-centeredness, the two things that we love the most.
Very simple, but sometimes hard to do. Now, here's the effect it had on Bill. He said these were revolutionary and drastic proposals. At the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. There was a sense of victory followed by such a peace and serenity as I'd never known. There was utter confidence. I felt lifted up as though the great clean wind of a mountaintop blew through and through. God comes to most men gradually, but His impact on me was sudden and profound. Bill thought he was going crazy. He said, for a moment I was alarmed and called my friend the doctor to ask if I was still sane. And he listened in wonder as I talked. Finally, he shook his head saying, something has happened to you I don't understand, but you better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were. This was probably about December the 12th or 13th of 1934. Bill didn't die until January of 1971. He never found it necessary to take another drink as long as he lived. Something very, very effective took place in Bill's life that day in the town hospital. He always said, I had a vital spiritual experience during which old ideas were cast aside, replaced with a new set of ideas, and I was able to find a way to live without drinking alcohol.
Yep. Something very profound happened to Bill because he went in there, a very selfish and self-centered individual, and then he had this giant spiritual experience. He thought he was going crazy because he heard Lois and Dr. Silkworth talk. Said they're going to have to put him in an insane asylum or lock him up or hire a bodyguard. So he had this experience, and he wondered if he'd gone crazy. And Dr. Silkworth said, well, something's happened to you that I don't understand, but you better hang on to it. So something very profound happened to Bill, because look what happens to him next. He said, while I lay in the hospital, he's still in the hospital, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given me. Perhaps I could help some of them. They, in turn, might work with others. He began to think about other people while he was in the hospital, how I might help other people to what he had been given. Something profound happened to Bill. He said, my friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with other alcoholics that he'd worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. And with us, it's just like that. You know, the work is really, really hard. But the pay is really, really good, too. You see, helping other people works when all other activities fail.
I love this next paragraph. My wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. It was fortunate. For my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. I was not too well at the time, and was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I've gone to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It is a design for living that works in rough going. Now, this is what happened with Bill when he was in Akron about to get drunk. He remembered back in New York City that even though he had never helped any other alcoholics, every time he had tried, he felt better. So he called on Dr. Bob, not to sober up Bob, but because Bill was about to get drunk. Absolutely amazing. And it always works. In my own particular life, literally hundreds of times, feeling low and sad and depressed and angry and resentful and afraid and worried and all that crap. And I go out to another alcoholic and try to help another alcoholic, and immediately it gets my mind off of me. Gets me on somebody else. God can come in my mind and kind of clean that thing up a little bit then.
Yeah.
It really does work for we alcoholics. Now just think, if you were the first out here in California, never had any contact with the fellowship, this book is the only contact you've got. You've read the doctor's opinion. You've been able to see what your problem really is. You've read Bill's story. You've been able to identify with another alcoholic. You've seen this alcoholic recover from alcoholism. Then by now, you surely are beginning to believe that I'm enough like this guy, that if he can recover from alcoholism, yes, maybe I can too. The beginning of belief, the beginning of hope, put in the big book just exactly where it belongs, to give the newcomer some hope that maybe they can recover also. Perfect sequence.